Well, welcome and thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
How's the campaign going?
It's growing really well. I've met a lot of new people from 2 years ago. Of course, you know, people ask, why are you running again? And, you know, what were you thinking? As if it wasn't hard enough the last time with five people in the race. But I've met a lot of new people, and the energy that I'm feeling and frustration at the same time among people is just resonates much more than it did 2 years ago on specific issues and in general.
What frustrations are you hearing?
People are still worried about the economy. They don't think that it's quite booming as they had hoped it would be. I think there's a national sentiment as well. People are disenchanted with what's happening in Washington and that things aren't getting done. There is frustration with families in general in terms of economics and where they are and where they thought they would be from 2 years ago. Schools are the same way. Parents that are, now that the kids are going back to school, wondering what kind of programs that they're going, their children are going to be part of, and whether or not they're federally mandated programs. That's a big concern, that parents want a little bit more and more flexibility.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Common Core?
I am. That's that's quite the subject. Yeah, and testing. And when you look at, there was a, I was speaking to a former superintendent from the Crested Butte area, and he was telling me that they asked teachers, how do you feel about testing? And they said, you know, how much time do you spend preparing children for tests, administering the tests, and then later on having to go back and analyzing the data? And they said, probably we spend about 55% of the time. And when they were asked, how much time would you like to be spending? And they said 5%. And I think that's an issue with regard to creativity. You know how I know when my son was in school, especially elementary school, you could really see it. And there was a class, you would say, oh, well, that class is, you know, whatever. You would give a label to them. And it seemed like they were their own little entity and with their own personality. And I think that teachers can be a lot more creative if they don't have to be spending so much time preparing for tests and then taking care of the rest of it.
Yeah. So in the state house, then, what opportunities are there to change how assessments are made of students?
I think there should be greater autonomy in the school districts. My opponent and I just had a debate the other day on Crystal 93, and one of the things that she said when I pointed out about greater autonomy given to school districts, she said, well, that's what got us into this problem in the first place. And I'm not really sure why she would say that, because the demographics are so varied across this district and certainly across the entire state. So what works in Summit County is not necessarily going to work in Lake or Pitkin or Delta or Gunnison. So that thing that has to be taken into consideration and give the school district, the administrators, but especially the teachers, a lot more flexibility. Now, when you look at a federally mandated program, that takes away a lot more of that autonomy. And so you're not going to have a school district have that kind of opportunity to be creative as much when they have to adhere to all these testing rules.
So we had the CSAP and then the TCAP, and now we've got a new test that will be coming online in this school year.
Right.
Are those something that should be changed? Is that something you're looking
at? I think that they should. The difference for me is, and what I'm hearing from people, Colorado knows what's best for Colorado. We know what's best for our Colorado students, and that's above the already of the districts knowing what's best for their district. So if you look at it on a scale, perhaps a ladder type scale, that you have the school district, and then it goes up to the state level. And that's where I think we need to focus more of our attention on what we consider and have greater sovereignty. And I know that's probably a powerful word, but I mean it in the truest sense. that we have a greater sense of responsibility to our students at the state level as Coloradans, as opposed to the federal government telling us, a bigger entity in Washington telling us what we need.
Well, let's go back. One of the mm-hmm. first things you said is that you're talking to constituents and they're asking you, why are you running again? So why are you running again?
Well, it's not about me. And if it was about me, I probably wouldn't, because it is very difficult. It's hard to put yourself out there. And when the mailers start coming in and you read them, and my husband and I, who's my campaign manager, so I'm really very lucky. He's also very cheap, but I'm very lucky. He would go into the post office and go into the mail, and mostly in the bins, and pull them out and come home. And the first question I would have would be, well, what am I against today? And which, of course, I wouldn't be. But that's difficult. What makes it easier and to run again is that when you know that you have a reason, and when it's not me, for me, it's not personal, that we're hearing from constituents, people across the district saying that they don't feel like they're being represented. They're not being heard. They're not being responded to. And that goes at a lot of different levels. One area, for instance, Amendment 66, the Senate bill, the School Finance Act that my opponent sponsored, Senate Bill 213, because of TABOR, the Taxpayers Bill of Rights, that the monies that needed to be raised, that funding, had to be placed to the constituents. So the voters had to vote to see whether or not they wanted it. Overwhelmingly, it was defeated. And in our district, it was overwhelmingly defeated as well. Well, this year, there was a House Bill 1120. And because Senate Bill 213 was written in such a way that even though it was defeated, it could go on the ballot again until 2017. Now, House Bill 1120 was introduced, and that would have amended the Senate bill. It wouldn't have eliminated it. It would have amended it so that if it went, Amendment 66 went on the ballot again in this year, in 2014, and was defeated for the second time, then 15, 16, 17, so those three additional years, that would have been taken off the ballot. And my opponent voted to keep it on the ballot. That is a very strong indication that she's not listening. When every county in our district overwhelmingly defeated 66 to say, you know, I'm not listening to you. We want to put it back on because she thinks it's important.
So it was asked and answered, is what you're saying.
It was asked and answered, correct.
Yeah. As a candidate, you've got your own set of issues and things that drive you and that, you know, you'd like to see done. Mm-hmm. And then you're going around and you're hearing from your constituents. How do you balance those two? Things that you think as a leader that I want to go for and things that my constituents say, this needs to be changed or this needs to be done.
The principles that I adhere to or that I believe in personally are principles that I find resonate across the board. Quality education is one. I haven't met anyone yet to tell me that that's not an issue. You certainly will come into people saying, well, more funding will help cure that. But then we have information statistics that show that that's not true. So quality education, vocational and technical education, you know, not every child will aspire to go to college. And that is, I think that's very important for our future. Having that option and giving those choices and making those available, I think, will be huge. Personally, I've been blessed with having grown up and speaking different languages. I speak Italian and German and French. We lived in Europe quite a few years because my dad was in the military and my mother was born in Italy. And one of the things that I found and have discovered over the years is that total immersion is extremely important. We have children who are little sponges, and if we give them the opportunity and really challenge them, that would be huge. In terms of the economy, a free enterprise, I don't know how anyone can argue with that. A free market system as well, you know, give people the opportunity, and also being self-reliant. I don't know of anyone that would say, well, I want everybody, I know it's a nice thought to say, I want people to take care of me, but at the same time, there's so much more value when you wake up in the morning and you've built your business or you work and come home to a family and you feel like you've accomplished something.
Let's talk about energy for a second. Mm-hmm. And there threatened to be at one point several ballot initiatives on the ballot concerning fracking.
Right.
Those will not be on there. One of the concerns was that it was going to bring out this polarization in the electorate. But whether it's on the ballot or not, it remains an issue. And it's an issue in the Roaring Fork Valley, especially with regards to the Thompson Divide. What do you think about energy and fracking, and what can the State House do about it?
One of the issues with regard to fracking and letting different districts or different municipalities make the decision or come up with their own regulations, that's where a problem really lies. I don't know the last time I looked and saw that more government made life easier or less complicated. And that's when you have regulations in place. The Environmental Protection Agency certainly has a massive amount of regulations coming to most industry, if not all. And when you add to it, if you start to fragment it and then you have those regulations and then on top of that another area or district has their regulations placed on top of it, I think that's when we have a problem. Colorado has some of the most stringent regulations in the United States, and I think we do a good job monitoring, and we should continue to do that. And we also need to talk about the economy. I think an all of the above approach is important. At the same time, a lot of people, unless you live in Delta County and in Olson, Gunnison, there are areas that you look at, like you, for instance, Aspen has growth management and a really important plan. These areas would also look at, not only do we don't have to deal with growth management, we want to keep what we have. And that's really important because families and the service industry related to, for instance, the coal mining industry would be huge. And across the board, when you look at energy, and if you wanted to just go, for instance, go all solar and all wind, if you don't have a backup, then we run the risk of not being able to, that our infrastructure will not be able to sustain itself. When you want to turn a light on, you want to turn a light on. And I think we need to be responsible. It has to be cost effective. And all of the above approach can work, but we have to be conscious and very sensitive to the other economies and the other developing areas.
There's a real chance, both at the federal and state level, that the political control, which party controls the Senate, state and federal, is at stake in this election. Does that matter at all to you? And if so, what's your part in that? Or what do you think?
I want representatives to go back to being representatives. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running, is to go back to true representative government. Too often we see representatives who are being influenced or listened or driven by outside interests. And for instance, even in any of the areas, with Amendment 66, I know that my opponent was getting letters and emails, and they were saying like one a minute from one of the people in the staff. But they weren't going heard. And that's a huge problem, because with true representative government, and I'll give for example, when you are sworn into office, you swear an oath to uphold the U.S. and Colorado constitutions. That's something that a representative should take seriously. You are swearing an oath. Now, if you don't like parts of the Constitution, that's not your responsibility to change it. And by bringing in a bill and changing and altering something, that is your responsibility to follow through. If the people want to make a change, then that goes to the vote of the people. Amendment 66 is a perfect example. The people spoke overwhelmingly and said, no, we don't want this. But for legislators to say, no, you know, we're just going to put it back on the ballot, so eventually by 2017, maybe we can wear you down, is just unacceptable.
I wanted to go back to something you said earlier on language.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fairly well-known fact that the human brain can acquire lots of language up to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and then after that, it's much more difficult. It always struck me as interesting why language isn't taught in kindergarten instead of in high school. What do you think about that? I mean, and is that something that you, because language, as you say, is important.
Right. Well, I did for a time, I was a German language instructor, and I was teaching military spouses in addition to teaching them some of the cultural aspects and differences that they would encounter when they went overseas. And you can learn later on, although I'm still trying to learn Spanish.
It's much more difficult. Yeah,
it is much more difficult. But you're right, and I think that's probably why years ago, if you look back, that Latin was taught, and who's going to speak? It's a base for a lot of different languages, but whether or not you're going to use it going to the grocery store was not possible. But I think that it opened up the mind a little bit. I took a class once in Esperanto, and that was fascinating. I think I got the biggest headache I ever had in my life.
The global language.
I know, the global language. And that was, but it forced your mind to think a different way. Almost scientifically, it was really quite fascinating. But you're absolutely right. Yeah. And that's why I think total immersion works extremely well.
You've answered all of my questions. Is there anything I didn't ask, anything you want that we didn't cover?
Well, I am really looking forward to I'm looking forward to being elected, so I'll stay positive. I have enjoyed so much going to the different counties in our district, and it's fascinating how different they are. And at the same time, when you get down to the core and you meet a family member and you meet a mom who's maybe a single mom who's struggling. I was at one point a single mom. And there are the hope that they have for their children and the fathers, the parents that are, you know, want what's best for their kids. I mean, that just resonates across the board. And I think people want to have a representative who will listen and will listen to what they have to say, what their needs are. And it's complicated when you gerrymandering was something that must have been quite fascinating to be part of. It's like, how can we move this around? But where our issues are all the same. We are all together in this, from energy to water, to the economy, to our children, to education. You know, there is a common thread. Somebody asked me, actually it was a Republican woman. She came up to me in Delta County, and she said, I really need to ask you a question. I thought, well, she was Republican, so I didn't know how hard it was going to be. And she said, well, you live in Summit County. And I said, yes, I do. And she said, you live in Breckenridge, right? And I said, yes, I do. And I knew where she was going with it. I suspected. And I said, so what do I know about Delta County? And she said, that's exactly what I wanted to ask you. And so I said, well, let's talk principles. Because if you believe in that we can prosper with free enterprise and by decreasing harmful regulations and by lowering taxes, if you believe that we can provide quality education for our kids and vocational technical education and choices, and then if you believe that we can protect our heritage, our way of life, and create self-reliance and opportunity, these things are not just county things. These aren't just for Delta or Summit or Lake or Pitkin or Gunnison. They can be applied across our district and across our great state.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling me.